All right, Tim Blaine Shapiro, Divorce 661. In this video, I'm going to discuss the truth about California no-fault divorce, debunking myths, revealing truths, and explain why an amicable divorce is key. I'm going to dissect the intricacies of irreconcilable differences in divorce proceedings, dispel common misconceptions, and unveil why a peaceful resolution should be your ultimate goal, regardless of the reasons behind your split. Hi, my name is Tim Blankenship, and I'm a legal document assistant that provides affordable, amicable divorce services across California, where we are making divorce better. What do you think about that little slogan? I think I'm going to get that trademarked. With 3 million views now and over 3,300 videos on YouTube, you found the YouTube channel for amicable divorce in California. So make sure to like and subscribe to my channel, please. How do you like that little intro? People are always asking, Tim, you give so much information, but who are you? What do you do? And that's the answer. So you can expect more of that. Now, this information is not considered to be legal advice. I get beat up all the time because I'm a legal document preparer, not supposed to give legal advice, nor do I. This information is information you can find readily available if you know what to look for on the internet, written by attorneys and judges and provided by the courts. And I'm just explaining it here to you in plain English. So not legal advice. Thank you very much for those of you who want to complain. Okay, we're going to be talking about no-fault divorce versus fault divorce-based divorce, proving no fault in divorce, how spouses can agree on different grounds for divorce, talk about the separation part prior to divorce, and about reconciliation. And then we're talking about differences of legal separation and divorce and focusing on moving forward post-divorce. So a lot to cover in this. Let's get right into it. So number one, no-fault versus fault-based divorce. California is a no-fault divorce state, meaning you don't need to prove your spouse is to blame for the marriage breakdown. The only reason that you need to state is irreconcilable differences. So no fault in California. That's a good thing because there are states where there is fault that has to be proven. So by default, you have to show that your spouse did X, Y, or Z, and that's why you are filing for divorce and you have to prove a reason. I just think that I don't know how you have an amicable divorce when you have to prove a reason that your spouse did something that you basically have to blame them, you know, for your divorce. I don't think that's going to work out so well. So what does this mean in plain English? No fault or irreconcilable differences. It simply means that you and your spouse cannot get along with one another enough to keep the marriage alive. And this can be something as simple as you just grew apart. You don't, even if you can't come right out and say it was a certain thing. And many times it's not. I'll hear people say, not that I ask, but they'll say, you know, we just grew apart. You know, we just, the kids are grown and we realized we're just not happy together. We can't exactly say what it is, but we're just not happy together. Again, I never ask. All we're marking on the petition is irreconcilable differences. It's your only choice regardless of what happened. Now, I got some points here. Of course, you have a reason for wanting the divorce. But simply put, the reason you want the divorce has no bearing on the divorce process. Keep in mind, we're discussing amicable divorce scenarios here, so I don't want to discount issues that could come up in trials that could affect outcomes. So does domestic violence and issues like that affect particular scenarios or maybe support and things like that in trials? Absolutely. So I want to focus on the fact that, number one, it's not legal advice. Number two, we're talking about amicable divorce cases where the parties are working towards an agreement. So the reason doesn't matter. How egregious the divorce, the reason for the divorce is in reality, you simply get the mark the box irreconcilable differences. So fault-based. So it can be one-sided. Both parties don't need to agree to the divorce, and that happens on occasion, and those are some of the more difficult ones. Oftentimes, again, I guess I jumped the gun here. Oftentimes, clients simply say they've grown apart and no other real reason that they want the divorce. It's probably one of the toughest, like I was about to say, when the spouse does not want the divorce, but you got to hand it to them. So let's say, let me set up the scenario here. One spouse is usually telling the other spouse they want the divorce, right? I think that's usually how it goes. But a lot of our clients, probably 80% of them, they were both thinking the same thing, but one finally had to say it. So it is amicable for that reason. They both want it. But some of the tougher ones, and not tougher on me, but I think some of the tougher divorce cases is you think everything is going fine in your marriage. And then out of the blue, in your mind, your wife or husband wants a divorce and you're shocked by it. We get those cases, and I always tell them, you know, divorce is never easy, number one, even if you guys agree to it. Still, you know, emotional to a degree, and you still got to make all the same decisions everyone else does. But when you are taken aback, or you don't want it, or you'd prefer, hey, well, I didn't know that, or this was bothering you for the last 20 years, you know, let's try, you know, mediation or therapy or whatever, but they're already well beyond that. Generally speaking, it's that spouse who, quote unquote, doesn't want the divorce reaching out to me saying, look, I don't want the divorce, but I'm not going to fight it. If he or she doesn't love me, then I guess I'm not going to make her or him miserable and drag them through the dirt and get attorneys to spend a bunch of money. I wish, you know, I still love him or her. I wish we could stay together. I don't want it. So I'm going to do the manly thing or the womanly thing and just take it on the chin and let's just get through this amicably. And at the end of the day, I guess I don't want to be with someone who doesn't love me, even though I love them. So, not to get mushy on you, but you know, those can be some tougher situations. So you got to hand it to the folks who will call me to go through an amicable divorce through a process they don't even want to have. Maybe it's like going through a elective surgery that you know, you don't have any choice in doing it. Well, I guess it wouldn't be elective then, but you know what I mean. Irreconcilable difference is the only legal grounds as a reason for filing, as you will see on the divorce petition, as I mentioned. Now, just to kind of go on a side note here, as opposed to if you're trying to file for a nullity, to nullify the marriage or an annulment, as it's known, you have to prove a reason to the court. But we're not, for the purposes of this video, we're talking about no fault versus fault-based divorce and how California is irreconcilable differences. We're not talking about proving some reason why you need a nullity of your marriage, which are only, I think, six specific reasons. Number two, proving fault is not required in California. The reason you want a divorce or proving wrongdoing is not required for a divorce in California. So, like I said earlier, I'm sure you have a reason for the divorce. He or she did this or that, or you've grown apart or whatever it is. That never comes up with what we do. It's never discussed. I never ask in the consultations. Some people volunteer it, but when they do, honestly, I don't really acknowledge it. Not that I'm insensitive to what the issues are, because usually when people will volunteer it, I don't think they're trying to get me on their side because I work as a neutral third party. Maybe some are, I don't know. Maybe they felt like talking to someone about it. I don't want to say I don't acknowledge it as in like, I don't care. It's just, it's not relevant to the process we're about to go through. And if there was some emotion tied to the reason that I want them to forget about it and make rational decisions and not kind of focus on the reason. Let's focus on the result of getting the divorce done amicably. So while you obviously have a reason, try to put your emotions aside so you can make rational decisions in the divorce process. So I care, but it's not relevant for purposes of what we do. Number three, spouses can agree on different grounds for divorce. Even if there's no agreement on the fault, on fault or the reason for divorce, you can agree on irreconcilable differences, as that is the only option when filing for divorce in California. So you may say it's reason A. Your spouse may say it's reason B. Going back to proving fault is not required. It doesn't matter if it's A. It doesn't matter if it's B. To the court, we're going to mark irreconcilable differences. So again, doesn't matter what the reason is. It matters to you, matters to your spouse. You guys are beyond reconciling and therapy and all this at that point. So the reason matters to you guys. It doesn't matter to the court. It's not going to come up. It's not something that we put in the settlement agreement. It's not something we address. We don't have to put rationale into the settlement agreement explaining away why you're getting the divorce. None of that ever comes up. It's to that degree, it is very unemotional. Just the facts, ma'am, you know, and just the documentation of who's keeping what, and total without emotion. And I bet that you guys would appreciate that from me, as you know, my clients would appreciate that I don't get involved in the emotional aspect or drilling down or asking, oh, is that really what happened? Or why'd they do that? Oh, that's too bad. Yeah, none of that. You guys are coming to me for a solution. You want to get your divorce done as quickly, as painless as possible, and as cost effective as possible. And that's the service I provide. Number four, separation is not mandatory. It comes up a lot. People think they need to physically separate. No requirement that you physically separate prior to filing for divorce is necessary. In fact, many of my clients are still living together when we filed for divorce. In fact, many of our clients are continuing to live together post-divorce for several years. There's people that are living, I have some examples here, people physically separate at times that work for them. I have some examples like when the house sells. I was doing another video earlier that we're doing the divorce. It'll be approved in about 2 months, but they're not going to sell the house until the end of the year. So they're going to continue living in the home until the house is sold, and then they'll take their proceeds and they'll move to their respective apartments or buy a new house or whatever they're going to do. So that's completely fine. They have gone through the entire process, filed, stated a date of separation. So you're still dating. You're still putting a date of separation. If no date that you can remember that you guys discussed in the past, maybe you guys talked and said, hey, let's get divorced and here's our agreement. And you file 2 months later. You can always use the date of separation from when you guys talked about it. If no other date, just use the date. You know, we'll use the date that we're filing for divorce. If you're going through an amicable divorce and you're not making decisions based on length of marriage, like if you still want even though you've been married longer than 10 years, but you don't want alimony or don't need it, or if you're not going to be dividing assets and debts or like your pension values and stuff like that based on length of marriage, then really the date of separation isn't going to be really relevant because you're making decisions outside of the length of marriage kind of rationale for valuing assets and so forth. So other reasons, selling the house, lease terminates. So we had someone last week that they a week prior. So in January, so we're just getting March 4th in January, they signed a new lease for 2 years with their spouse who they're now filing for divorce with. So they have to deal with that. They're amicable. I don't know if they're amicable enough to live in there for 2 years. But we have people, you know, it's not for me to say you guys want to continue doing that. The court doesn't care. You're basically cohabitating in that way. You're joint tenants, if you will. And I know it's going to be more affordable to share a lease or rent or even a mortgage in these cases. And you know, if you can delay the need to move out for a period of time, you're probably better off financially. So that makes sense. But the point of number four was that separation is not required to file. You could literally wake up one day and say, you know what, I haven't talked about this with my spouse, but I just decided I want a divorce and that's what we're going to do. And you tell your spouse, that's the date of separation. It doesn't have to have any forethought. You don't have to, you know, have to have previously discussed it. We're just going to state that date of separation on the petition when we go to file. And it does not have to be any type of being physically separated. And the reason this is important topic of this is because people will say, well, Tim, when I'll ask, what's the date of separation? Oh, well, we're not physically separated, not required. Number five, reconciliation is possible. Filing for divorce does not automatically end the marriage. Could you imagine if you got upset with your spouse, you said, that's it. You could go down to the courthouse, sign a piece of paper and you're automatically divorced the next day or 24 hours. And you wake up, you sleep on, you realize you made a mistake and you have to go back. That's the whole reason for the cooling off period, the 6 month cooling off period. So filing for divorce does not automatically end the marriage. Reconciliation is still possible until the final divorce decree is approved by the court. So if you, even now with the divorce cases that, you know, you're not officially divorced for 6 months, that's because of that cooling off period. That's for that whole purpose to have time to reconcile. So in the scenario I gave where you could be divorced in a day, which you can't because of the 6 months, obviously, we file for divorce and anytime during that 6 months or beyond, you can terminate the divorce case. You can have it dismissed entirely if you guys agree to do that. As long as the court has not signed the divorce decree and you have your judgment for divorce, you can reconcile, you can stop the divorce case from going through. Again, I'm looking at my notes again. This is the reason for the 6 month cooling off period. Our amicable clients, the final paperwork is usually done in just a few weeks, but you're not officially divorced until the 6 months have passed. So like our LA County cases or any county for that matter, we file on day one. You guys give me your terms. I finalize your paperwork. You can sign it and notarize it day three and four. You know, usually within a week we can be done if you guys get me the information. I can't submit it for a certain period of time, but we can get it approved prior to the 6 months. So that could cause an issue if you guys end up reconciling, but the judge has already signed the order. We've had that happen. They've tried to go to court to have it set aside. The court said, you know what? I already signed the court order for your divorce. So just go get remarried after your divorce is finalized. So just don't sign the settlement agreement and the judgment package if you guys are considering reconciliation. We can go well beyond the 6 months. I talk about all these cases I take on that are 5 years old, 6 years old, 3 years old. Just because 6 months is not the maximum limit. That's just the soonest your divorce can be approved. When people actually say, Tim, we want to dismiss the case, we're going to reconcile that, I'll tell them we don't have to dismiss it. You can just let the case sit there for a couple of years. It'll still be active, and you know, the court may dismiss it. They have that option to do that if there's no movement on your case. But I tell people just leave it open, and if you decide reconciliation is not working for you, we just kind of continue on with the case. So yeah, you're not officially divorced until 6 months have passed. This is true even if the judge has signed the divorce decree. Like in our cases where say we're getting your divorce approved by the court in 2 months. Let's say we started a case in January and we have your case approved now here in March. The judge has signed it. You're like, Tim, but the 6 months haven't passed. That's right. The judge will sign your divorce decree, your judgment package, your settlement agreement. It's all done, signed by the judge, but the effective date of your divorce, the dissolution of your marriage, the day you become single, is postdated by the court out to 6 months a day. Call it July 2nd. 6 months and a day from when we got the process started. It is possible to stop the divorce anytime before the 6 months, again, as long as the judge has not signed it. Number six, legal separation versus divorce. What's the difference? Procedurally, the process is identical. The same decisions have to be made: custody, support, property division, et cetera, who's keeping what. The only difference really with legal separation is that there's no 6 month waiting period. Technically speaking, it could be done as soon as the judge signs it. Procedurally, court delays can impact that time frame. So if you're, some people say, Tim, I want to do legal separation because I don't want to wait the 6 months. So that can work, like in LA County, I can have you officially legally separated, approved by the judge, in 5 weeks, and it's over. You're still legally married because we just did the legal separation case. And a warning to you guys who want to do that, and I give this warning to everyone in their consultations that bring up the word legal separation, is that you have to file a brand new case for divorce if you finalize a legal separation filing. It's not converting that legal separation case you handled 2 years ago or a year ago or 6 months ago. It's a brand new case. And you're not addressing any of the issues in the divorce. All the issues would have been handled, like in the divorce case, it would have been handled in the legal separation case as far as who's keeping what, custody, kids, money, pensions, all that, just like a divorce. So if you want to modify any of those terms, you're not going to readdress those at all, zero, in the divorce case. We're just doing what's called a status-only dissolution. We're just addressing the dissolution of the marriage. And none of the other assets, debts, kids, custody, all that. If there's any changes to that, you would do that in your legal separation case because they are completely separate. And I want to say it again. We are not converting your old legal separation case and saying we're now requested to be a divorce. It's a brand new case, new filing, new court fees, filing, serving, the whole thing, all over again. Number seven, focus on moving forward. Regardless of the reason for divorce, focus on resolving issues amicably and find someone like me to help you navigate the process. Put emotions aside. Make sane, thoughtful, non-emotional decisions. You'll always end up with a better solution doing it that way than by court or going to court or having a judge make the decisions. If you have children, consider the long-term impact of fighting for custody. You'll be in each other's lives for a long time. I had someone say that to me on a consultation. They already recognized that they did not want to go through a difficult custody battle or fight or get attorneys and all that, and they were going to use the best interests of the children, not the best interests of themselves, is one of the notes I had here. But yeah, if you can put emotion aside, make sane, thoughtful, non-emotional decisions, use a service like mine, and maybe you need a mediation as well. Maybe it's not just, hey, Tim, we're in agreement and do our paperwork, do our filings. I help my client. I don't mediate your case. I'm not sitting with you guys in a room, or I'll jump on the phone with both of you and help give you guys options and solutions. I don't consider that mediation. I consider mediation to be someone in a room, or, you know, I think people are just doing it on Zoom now, or a phone call, and listening to the concerns and trying to help you guys reach those decisions. With my service, you guys make those decisions. If you guys have want to run, say, Tim, this is what we're trying to do. How can we accomplish this all day long? I can help you with that. Again, I don't consider that mediation. But if you're trying to use me to convince your spouse or vice versa to take a certain action, in fact, I don't do that, but I don't even think mediators do that. They will just there to facilitate the conversation to hopefully have you guys come to the realization of whatever terms you guys agree to. So I hope you enjoyed this kind of deep dive into the no fault, fault-based divorce and irreconcilable difference and how it affects you and actually doesn't affect you really at all in California. I'll be doing more of these videos, deep dive topics, drilling down. As I mentioned in another video, we're seeing that the view counts are 10x, 10 times the views on these deep dive, longer in-depth videos than the 2-minute short form and even 15 to 60 second shorts. So we'll see you on the next videos. Thanks so much for watching. We'll talk to you soon.